Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. As we did in our previous episode, we're really not going to get into, you know, the usual obligatories and talk about the news or the marketing and, you know, me poking you in the eye and saying, what's it going to take for you to start getting involved? When are you going to wake up? When are you going to realize that your liberties have been stolen from you? I mean, other than the fact that I just did that. What we want to do is we want to jump right back into the Kentucky resolution so that hopefully we can kind of close, you know, this segment into, you know, its finality or you know, get finalized this whole concept of what Jefferson was asserting. Then we're going to get into the Virginia resolutions. And unlike what we've done before, I'm going to actually read the conclusion of the Kentucky resolutions, what Jefferson sent out in 1799 when the other states failed to join in. And then the comments that Madison had as he lamented, and I'm telling you, he lamented the fact that the states failed to do their job in his notes on the Virginia resolution of 1800. I want you to understand the tone as the follow-up. So over the next, you know, several episodes, this is the focus. We need to focus on this content. You need to get your arms wrapped around this concept that Thomas Jefferson and James Madison didn't care about the nullifying of the laws. They knew the states already possessed the process of nullification. They had been doing it long before the U.S. Constitution. When a law would come along that would violate or be contrary or contradict fundamental laws of their constitution or fundamental laws of the land, they were identified as conflicts and identified as null and void and were stricken. That's what you do. But what they were talking about and what they were doing here, and Jefferson in this fifth resolution, he's still in the auditing process. He is still talking about how these things violate the Constitution. It isn't until the eighth resolution where he says, this is what we have to do. And the problem is, everybody has focused on these first few resolutions and said, oh, we got to nullify. We got to nullify. Well, yeah, you're obviously, that's what you're supposed to do, but that's not what you do to fix the problem. You have to continue reading the resolutions. Get your butt down to Resolution 8 and realize that Jefferson is calling for the states to start organizing and pulling together to work together. Madison uses the word interpose. Anyway, so when you hear the 10th Amendment Center stand on this concept of nullification, when you hear these brilliant men who, you know, have given you this great history on nullification, you have to scratch your head and go, why is it that they missed this? Why is it that they missed this whole conferences, you know, calling for committees of conference and correspondence? I mean, that's not just nullifying. That's getting organized and working together to rebuke the federal government. Committees of correspondence. Oh, by the way, because I know that a lot of, at least not a lot, there's some people that understand the committees of safety. Did you notice Jefferson didn't call for the committees of safety to start working together? No, the committees of safety were just that. They were for the internal safety, but when it came to organizing the states to working together, it came through one process and one process alone. It came from them pulling delegates together and working together and unifying. That's why it is so important for people to understand Republic Review, because Republic Review is the unification process. But most people think, oh, it's just the audit. No, it's, you know, you do the audit to identify the violations. Then it's the unifying and pulling together these independent judges so that they can judge as a single body what to do regarding the violations of their compact. There is no court in the world that holds greater jurisdiction over our Constitution than the unified states of the United States when it comes to enforcing its compact. Now, when it comes to changing the compact, it requires Congress's approval to appoint. In other words, you have to petition if you want to change the contract. But you have inherent in contract law, the stakeholders, the owners of their contract, have the inherent responsibility and the authority to hold their subcontractor, the general government. The states have the authority to hold them accountable and force them into compliance with the concept of this compact, understanding that the militia is the force of enforcement as well as the political enforcement that the states have. That I've covered this, and we've covered this before, but I don't want to delve too much into this. I'm just trying to paint this picture, the importance of Republic Review and how these resolutions are, they just completely dovetail with Republic Review. And so I appreciate the good work of the 10th Amendment Center. I appreciate, I'm not saying that these guys are evil or bad. They're just missing the big picture. That's all. It's really clear. And if anybody wants to, I would love to sit down in a room with anybody that wants to discuss this, whether it be a representative of the 10th Amendment Center, whether it's somebody that's, you know, at the John Birch Society, or anybody else that is putting their feet firm into the ground that, no, it's just nullification. I'm telling you, the good Lord knew what we needed, and he gave us everything we needed to fix this problem. Nullification will never fix the problem. It only just makes the assertion that the states aren't going to comply. And then what happens when the federal government comes in and arrests all of these people? Ah, yeah. So this is where you actually have to take action, and the states have to work together. It, you know, so anyway, because the magnitude of this Leviathan is so big and so immense, the states have to work together. I mean, it's one thing to nullify and not necessarily respect. The bottom line is we have to work, because nobody wants to go to jail, and nobody wants to see the federal. As a matter of fact, the day the federal government starts actually firing, killing, and arresting people, I truly believe is the day America will actually wake up. I believe that when states are actually saying you have no constitutional authority to assert this, and the federal government comes in and uses force, the rest of the states will start waking up. That is a catalyst right there. Anyway, back, and let me just redo the fifth resolution, because this is really powerful regarding immigration. Any state, any city, any county that wants to assert that they have the right over the federal government to dictate any migrating citizen, any non-citizen's existence in that area was lost, that their supremacy was taken away as of the 1808 clause in Article 1, Section 9 of the first article of the U.S. Constitution. Anyway, this is what Resolution 5 states, that in addition to the general principle as well as the express declaration that powers not delegated are reserved, another or more special provision inserted in the Constitution from abundant caution that declared, quote, the migration or importation of such persons as any of the states now existing shall think proper to admit shall not be prohibited by Congress prior to the year 1808. In other words, he says right here, shall not be prohibited by Congress prior to. So after the year 1808, Congress assumes all authority and cognizance over the migration and the movement of, if you want to call them, undocumented visitors. What we have, though, is not just tourists. We have, when people come in without following the federal laws of reporting themselves, what they're going to be doing and how long they're going to be here, and granting the authority based on the laws on the books, they are illegal aliens. They are trespassers, period. That's the definition of a trespasser. Anyway, Moving on, Jefferson says this, that this commonwealth does admit the migration of alien friends described as of the subject of the said acts concerning aliens, that a provision against prohibiting their migration is a provision against all acts equivalent thereto, or it would be nugatory, that to remove them when migrated is equivalent to a prohibition of their migration and is therefore contrary to the said provision of the Constitution and void. Six, and this is the violations of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. This is what Jefferson's going to prove here. Six, resolved that the imprisonment of a person under the protection of the laws of this commonwealth on his failure to obey the simple order of the president to depart out of the United States as is undertaken by act, by said act entitled, an act concerning aliens, is contrary to the Constitution, one amendment which was has provided that no person shall be deprived of liberty without due process of law, and that another have, so again, I want you to understand this, by the way, due process only is in play when somebody has lost their liberty, because this is going to come up over and over and over again regarding, and when we start unseating politicians who have violated their oath of office, they're going to be clamoring, I need due process, and go, hold it. You're not being held for a crime. If you want, we can pursue a crime, and we turn it over to a magistrate for pursuance of a crime. We've just disqualified you. You are no longer qualified to hold that seat. So it's done. It's gone. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Please stay tuned. Thank you so much. As you can tell, this really is gold. Folks, instead of giving you two separate promos, what we want to do is take advantage of these two quick minutes and let you know that we've got the petitions uploaded on reclaimingtherepublic.org. You just go to the petitions page. In addition, if you want to actually start working and connecting with other people, we ask you to join the NLA or at least reach out to them. You can join without paying. They only require you paying when you start taking advanced classes. So join the NLA and start working with them in getting these signatures for these petitions. We need to flood Congress by the 5th of January to demand that they challenge and discard the electors and the election due to election fraud. All the information that you need is right there in the petition. As a matter of fact, what Bob did was he went line by line with each of the infractions of the violation, each violation, I should say, of the Constitution. This is very powerful, and this is huge. We actually have the standing now, and as a matter of fact, any congressperson that chooses not to support the Constitution should have to suffer the consequences of failing to fulfill their oath of office. So we want to be very emphatic about getting these petitions, signing them, and getting as many people, legitimate U.S. citizens, to signing these petitions. Remember, it does not require a registered voter to do this. So we're doing this in hopes that you will help us support basically the challenging and discarding of the election. That's all we've got to do. Thank you so much.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so this is just how perverted we have become as our legal system and as a government. And I want to put this into context for you, because if you understand due process is when you are going to lose your liberties and be incarcerated. Now, once you're incarcerated, you have a right of due process. Is deportation the same thing as incarceration and being thrown in jail and loss of liberties? Has a person lost their liberties when they are deported? No. No, it's just that they have no legal authority and right to undermine the laws of the Constitution in trying to be here in the United States. Therefore, any migrant that has violated, non-reported themselves, there is no due process. They're not entitled to due process. That what should happen is they should be deported. The only time they need to have due process is when they are detained for committing a crime. So if, let's say, somebody has, you know, an illegal alien has committed a crime while they are here, whether it be theft, murder, drunk driving, it doesn't matter what type of behavior, what type of crime, and they're going to be in, they're thrown in jail, they are entitled to due process of that. The question must be, does the state, city, county, what have you, federal government, want to prosecute this individual to incarcerate an illegal alien, or is it better? I mean, depending on the heinousness of the crime, right? You understand that if somebody has killed somebody, then we should go through the full process of trying them and throwing them in jail. And this right here, my friends, justifies the need to have a penal system that is privatized, or I should say outsourced, to foreign countries. So that when we actually take a illegal alien who is, we said, you know, this is such a heinous crime, we're incarcerating you. We don't incarcerate him at our cost and have the luxuries of the American, you know, prisoner. They should be going to a foreign jail and be treated. And so the problem is, we know that other governments are corrupt. So we don't want to give them the cognizance and authority and jurisdiction over this person, because they'll probably let them out because, well, that crime didn't happen here. And unfortunately, there are plenty of corrupt governments to the south of us that have a lot of illegals coming here. So what we need to do is set up privately ran penal systems that are managed by a corporation that we just basically, it'd be much cheaper to do that than it would be to incarcerate them here. And they're not entitled. It is not a constitutional right to have cable television. It's not inhumane and unreasonable punishment when somebody has killed somebody to say, you're going to go serve time. Now, it's not necessarily consolatory confinement. They're going to be able to get yard time, and they'll be able to get their, you know, what do they call that? The three squares in a cot, whatever. But bottom line, they're not entitled to, you know, Pelican Bay, Club Pelican Bay. Anyway, and I wanted to make this point because people do not understand due process. Due process only is in play when somebody is, you know, being detained and incarcerated. So when somebody is actually being label lynched, they haven't been really formally, you know, called for a crime, and it's not like they're, you know, they've been subpoenaed to court and arrested and booked for a crime. What they're doing is they're trying to play this game of booking you in the public forum and in the public eyes. Well, there's no due process to that. What we have to do is we have to start recognizing that there are the press and this label lynching is nefarious and undermining. If there's a crime, we have to leave that to, you know, those who have the power and authority to actually prosecute the crime and arrest or what have you. Anyway, due process is one of those. I honestly think it should be the clause or the phrase of the decade, because it seems like anytime anything happens, people are clamoring for due process. And in Trump's case, when they're going in the House for, you know, these, you know, the impeachment process, there's really no due process. They're just coming up with whether they should indict or not. You haven't been arrested. You have not been charged of a crime. The impeachment process in the House is identifying whether you are going to be charged and tried in the Senate. So until that occurs, It's the same thing as, you know, the city attorney determining whether this person has committed a crime by building something on their property. And then they'll say, yep, we've got a case here. We're going to prosecute. Go and arrest him. We will charge him. That's, you know, you don't have due process up until the point of when you are arrested and you are at the brink of losing your liberties. Then you are afforded due process to defend yourself. And so this is what Jefferson goes on, and he says, and that another having provided that, quote, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to public trial by an impartial jury. Now, this is where Louisiana is violating the Constitution because they've embraced civil law. To be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor. See, that's how you get subpoenaed people to come and testify to the truth. And to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Close quote. The same act undertaking to authorize the president to remove a person out of the United States who is under the protection of the law on his own suspicion, without accusation, without jury, without public trial, without confrontation of witnesses against him, without hearing witnesses in his favor, without defense, without counsel, is contrary to the provision also of the Constitution, is therefore not law, but utterly void and of force, and of no force. And again, it becomes when you identify that here is something that has completely contradicted the fundamental law of the Bill of Rights, I think that's the Sixth or Seventh Amendment, then there you go. It is void and null of force or of no force. Anyway, he goes on and says, this is Jefferson, that transferring the power of judging any person who is under protection of the laws from the courts to the President of the United States, as is undertaken by the same act concerning aliens, is against the articles of the Constitution, which provides that, quote, the judicial power of the United States shall be vested in courts, the judges of which shall hold their offices during good behavior, close quote. And that the said act, see how thorough Jefferson is literally auditing this Constitution and these acts and identifying these violations. This is the beginning. This is the starting point of Republic Review, by auditing all of this, then pulling these together. That's why he's listing and auditing first. And then when we hit Resolution 8, bam, the knockout punch comes. And that the said act is void for that reason also. And it is further to be noted that this transfer of judiciary power is to that magistrate of the general government who already possesses all the executive and negative on all legislative powers. Interesting, huh? So in Resolution 7, that wraps up Resolution 6. In Resolution 7, Jefferson gets into Article 1, Section 8, and the limitation of powers by the Necessary and Proper Clause. So he actually calls out this Necessary and Proper Clause for what it is. And here he goes. Resolve that the construction applied to the general government, as is evidenced by sundry of the proceedings, to those parts of the Constitution of the United States which delegate to the power, to Congress, a power, quote, to lay and collect taxes, duties, imports, and excises, to pay the debts, and to provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States, close quote, and to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the powers vested by the Constitution in the general government of the United States, or in any department or officer thereof, goes to the destruction of all limits prescribed by the powers of the Constitution, that words meant by that instrument, to be subsidiary only to the execution of limited powers, ought not to have been construed as themselves to give unlimited powers, nor a part to be so taken as to destroy the whole residue, of that instrument, that the proceedings of the general government under color of these articles will be a fit and necessary subject for revisal and correction at a time of greater tranquility, while those specified in the preceding resolutions call for immediate redress. Did you hear what he just said? And so he says, I'm going to go forward. Nor a part to be so taken as destroy the whole residue of that instrument, that the proceedings of the general government under the color of these articles will be, I didn't realize I should have actually waited so I could, I'm going to re-emphasize this, because what Jefferson is saying is that he's basically saying that I'm going to run out of time so I can't editorialize. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so here we go. I'm going to try to package the seventh resolution a little bit better for you. The first part of this resolution is where Jefferson kind of talks about these parts of the Constitution that create these limitations, where the enumerated powers and the necessary and proper clauses with these, you know, the foregoing powers, and we've covered this in detail, that the necessary and proper clause does not give them unlimited access to create any law and to take any power upon themselves. That the necessary and proper means that they have the ability to enforce these powers as necessary and proper, and no new powers, only the foregoing powers. And so he kind of ties together the preamble and that list of powers and this necessary and proper clause. And so he goes on and says, as he closes thereof, goes to the destruction of all limits prescribed to the powers by the Constitution. That words meant by the instrument to be subsidiary only to the execution of limited powers. And this is the important part. It's a long bit, but pay attention. Ought not to be construed as themselves to give unlimited powers, nor a part to be so taken as to destroy the whole residue of that instrument, that the proceedings of the general government under the color of these articles will be a fit and necessary subject of revisal and correction at a time of greater tranquility, while those specified in the preceding resolutions call for immediate redress. So what did he just say? He just said, okay, so there's things we may need to fix and things we may need to do. However, and we'll do that when we finally have some tranquility and calmer heads prevail. However, while those specified in the preceding resolutions, all of these one through seven resolutions, all of these specified in these preceding resolutions call for immediate redress. So is immediate redress nullification? No, nullification is, like you said, it's just a second nature act that these laws are stricken. We're not enforcing them, period. Boom, end of story. Well, what do you do when you've got the federal government, the enemy actually living within your state, enforcing these laws, and it's no longer being enforced by the militia? Well, that's a horse of a different color, isn't it? And so as you start understanding, this whole thing, what did his last comment, those specified in the preceding resolutions call for immediate redress. In other words, we have to pull together. And so he's setting up resolutions 8 right here. He's saying that these things must be redressed. And so this is where Jefferson is calling for the uniting of the states by setting up committees of conference and correspondence. And this is exactly how he says it. Quote, resolved that a committee of conference and correspondence be appointed. Wow, leave any, questions? Or is that ambiguous? Is that nullification? No. He's actually saying that the states need to unify and get organized to act. Doesn't sound like he's just calling for nullification. So why is it that this was missed? Why is it that the 10th Amendment Center, the John Birch Society, and so many other organizations out there that are calling for nullification? There's this Yahoo in South Carolina. I forget his name, but people have pointed me out to him. I've tried to talk to the guy, and he won't even talk to me, because he's making a living out of selling this stuff. Oh, so is the John Birch Society, and so is the 10th Amendment Center. See the danger in going down this path of creating an organization. As I've said before, as soon as you create an organization where, the roof over your head and the money to put in your gas tank and put food on the table and pay your bills, you all of a sudden become very aware of the fact that you need to preserve this organization and your future income, because nobody wants to have to get a job. This is why when I first talked to Trevor Lawton, I need to talk to him. I want to do that interview where, I'm going to ask him, do you remember when we were sitting in that little cafe in Montana and I gave you some of those really hot peppers? And one of the first questions I asked you was, are you ready to retire? And you kind of gave me that sideways look like a dog. What was that? And I said, Republic Review is the mechanism and process that will get the government into full compliance. And are you ready to retire? Because what do we have to do when the federal government is no longer the enemy anymore? They're actually doing everything that they're supposed to be doing. I mean, doesn't our existence in fighting the federal government go away? And he got it. He understood. He goes, I look forward to that day. The only reason he's in this fight is because he understands the peril we're facing. And he's not even an American citizen. He's showing up so many of you Americans that are not acting. Wow. What has that got to tell you? There are way too many foreigners that are very active, and we need to see every American understand the responsibility of citizens. So let's move forward with this 8th resolution, that a committee of correspondence, a conference and correspondence be appointed, who shall have in charge to communicate the preceding resolutions to the legislatures of the several states, to assure them that this Commonwealth continues in the same esteem of their friendship and union which has manifested from that moment at which a common danger first suggested a common union, that it considers union for specified national purposes and particularly to those specified in their late federal compact to be friendly to the peace, happiness, and prosperity of the United States, that faithful to that compact, according to the plain intent and meaning in which it was understood and acceded by the several parties, it is sincerely anxious for its preservation, that it does also believe that to take from the states all the powers of self-government and transfer them to the general and consolidated government without regard to the special delegations and reservations solemnly agreed to in that compact is not for the peace, happiness, or prosperity of these states, and that therefore this commonwealth is determined, as it doubts not its co-states are, to submit to undelegated and consequently unlimited powers in no man or body of men on earth. Are you getting this? We're not to submit. We're just take a stand and actually take back our authority. That in all cases of an abuse of the delegated powers, the members of the general government being chosen by the people, a change by the people would be the constitutional remedy. But where powers are assumed which have not been delegated, a nullification of the act is rightfully remedied, that every state has a natural right in cases not within the compact, and then he uses some Latin here, to nullify of their own authority all assumptions of powers by others within their limits, that without this right they would be under the dominion and absolute and unlimited of whatsoever might exercise this right of judgment for them, that nevertheless this commonwealth, from motives of regard and respect for its co-states, has wished to communicate with them on that subject, that with them alone it is proper to communicate, they alone being parties to the compact and solely authorized to judge in the last resort of the powers exercised under it, Congress being not a party, but merely the creature of the compact, and subject as to its assumptions of power to the final judgment of those by whom and for whose use itself and its powers were all created and modified, that if the acts before specified should stand, these conclusions would flow from them, that the general government may place any act that they think proper on the list of crimes and punish it themselves, whether enumerated or not enumerated by the Constitution as cognizable by them, that they may transfer its cognizance to the president or to any person who may himself be the accuser, counsel, judge, and jury, whose suspicions may be the evidence, his order the sentence, his officer the executioner, and his breast the sole record of the transaction, that a very numerous and valuable description of the inhabitants of these states being by this precedent reduced as outlaws to the absolute dominion of one man, and the barrier of the Constitution thus swept away from us all. No ramparts now remains against the passions of the power of a majority in Congress to protect from a like exportation or other more grievous punishments the minority of the same body. The legislatures, judges, governors, and counselors of the states, nor in other peaceable inhabitants who may venture to reclaim the constitutional rights and liberties of the states and people, or, and this is like one sentence. And so, oops, I didn't realize we were coming up to a break. So we'll come back to that or when we come back from the break. But I thought that I was the king of run-on sentences, but they're using colons and commas and semicolons and, but this is all one sentence. Anyway, we shall be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
So as I was just saying about long sentences and so forth, I just want you to understand that just because this may be complicated writing and the way it, you know, he's presenting the information may make it hard for somebody to understand, it doesn't make it any less important and valid. In other words, why is it that all of these institutions completely ignore Resolution 8? Well, it's so difficult to understand. I don't know what he's saying there. It's pretty clear right up front what he's saying. And all of these things, maybe he should have put these into sub-bullets so that they would be separated as he lists this, and then he lists this, and then he lists this, because he keeps going on and on and on and on, because that's what lawyers do. And so lawyers, you know, they understand that, ooh, this kind of, you know, changes the paradigm, that they don't have these levels of control, because the lawyers are the ones that actually have been, integral in undermining and, you know, misinterpreting, covering up, obfuscating, and what have you. But anyway, let me go on. Nor their other peaceable inhabitants who may venture to reclaim the constitutional rights and liberties of the states and people, or who for other causes, good or bad, may be obnoxious to the views are marked by the suspicions of the president, or to be thought dangerous to his or their election in other interest, public or personal, that the friendless alien has indeed been selected as the safest subject of his experiment, but the citizen will soon follow. In other words, first they go after these people. Oh, well, they're not citizens. You know, as a matter of fact, this is what happened in Germany. He's basically pointing out that, you know, they start off with somebody that the people, you know, we don't really care. They're not citizens. But eventually they start pointing to the citizens, people that are ideologically opposed. Once they've broken down the repugnant idea of inflicting misjustice or injustice against a person, then it's easy to start swallowing to do it against citizens and so forth. So anyway, that the friendless alien has indeed been selected as the safest subject of a first experiment, but the citizens will soon follow, or rather, has already followed, for already has a sedition act marked him as its prey, that these and successive acts of the same character, unless arrested, unless they stop this at the threshold, necessarily drive these states into revolution and blood and will furnish new calamities against Republican government and new pretext for those who wish to be believed that man cannot be governed by a rod of iron, that it would be a dangerous delusion were a confidence in the men of our choice to silence our fears for the safety of our rights. That confidence is everywhere the parent of despotism. Free government is found in jealousy and not in confidence. It is jealousy and not confidence which prescribes limited constitutions to bind down those who are obliged to trust with power. That our Constitution has accordingly fixed the limits to which and no further our confidence may go. And let the honest advocate of the confidence read the Alien Sedition Acts and say if the Constitution has been wise in fixing limits to the government it created and whether we should be wise in destroying those limits. Let him say what the government is, if not a tyranny, which the men of our choice have con erred on our president, and the president of our choice has assented to and accepted over the friendly stranger to whom the mild spirit of our country and its laws have pledged hospitality and protection, that the men of our choice have more respected the bare suspicion of the president than the solid right of innocence, the claims of justification, the sacred force of truth, and the forms and substance of law and justice. New sentence. In questions of powers, then, let no more be heard of confidence in man, but bind him down from mischief by the claims of the Constitution. New sentence. Wow, that was a short sentence. That this Commonwealth does therefore call on its co-states for an expression of their same sentiments on the acts concerning aliens and the punishment of certain crimes herein, before specified plainly, declaring that these acts are not authorized by the federal compact. And it doubts not that their sense will be announced as to prove their attachment unaltered to limited government, whether general or particular, and that the rights and liberties of their co-states will be exposed to no dangers by remaining embarked in a common bottom with their own, that they will concur with this Commonwealth in considering that the acts are so blatantly or palpably against the Constitution as to amount to an undisguised declaration that the compact is not meant to the measure of the powers of the general government, but it will proceed in the exercise over these states of all powers whatsoever, that they will view this as seizing the rights of the states and consolidating them in the hands of the general government, with a power assumed to bind the states, not merely as the cases may federal caucus forderis, Latin, but in all cases whatsoever by laws made not with their consent, but by others against their consent. And this would be to surrender the form of government we have chosen and to live, actually, it's not surrendering, it is allowing unconstitutional government to move forward and live under one deriving its powers from its own will and not from our authority, and that the co-states recurring to their natural right in cases not made federal will concur in declaring these acts void and of no force, and will each take measures of its own to providing that neither these acts nor any others of the general government plainly and intentionally authorized by the Constitution shall be exercised within their respective territories. Now, to understand this, they would have had to have started pulling and working together, but what did they do? So they didn't have Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. They didn't have the ability to, other than treason, to pull back these representatives in Congress who obviously are willing to violate the Constitution. I truly believe that had the states united, they would have gone down this path of finally basically declaring that these members of Congress were committing treason by not adhering to the Constitution. And I truly believe that they would have extradited their representatives and senators who actually supported these bills and would have replaced them. In other words, they would have used the political force necessary. The thing and the reason why these problems went away is because Jefferson and Madison carried such political clout, unlike GR, that they rallied the country in a political revolution and unseated the Federalists from power in the upcoming election in 1800. 2 years later, they obtained enough power to unseat a sitting president who was automatically going to get his second term. And they unseated enough of Congress to where the Republican form of government was restored instead of an autocratic federalist government or a centralizing statist type of government. And so this final resolution, number 9, and it's pretty clear, it states this, resolved that the said committee be authorized to communicate by writing or personal conference at any times or place, whatever, with any person or persons who may be appointed by any one of the more co-states to correspond, to confer with them, and that they lay their proceedings before the next session of assembly. And so there you go. He's basically trying, and this is fancy wording for we need to come together, and he calls it a convention or a conference. They need to have a conference of the states. What are we going to do about this out-of-control government? And I truly believe that Republic Review is, because this was the audit process and then the calling for the Republic Review. I truly believe if you look at Republic Review as the process, as we've described it, it is very clear. We're not looking to change one piece of the Constitution. As a matter of fact, we're demanding that the Constitution not only be retained as it is, but it to be fully complied with and obeyed, that every politician must fulfill their oath of office and support it as written, not as they've deemed how they want in their annotated constitution to interpret, enforce, and do whatever they want to do to us. This is precisely, this right here, this resolution is precisely what has, what he was stating has absolutely happened, that the federal government has created their own constitution and they have become the executors of all power and all enforcement, which is contrary, completely contrary to the constitution that was ratified by the states and the constitution that still stands to this very day as the states compact and that the states are still the final arbiters and the authority over that compact, that they have the inherent authority to enforce their compact. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.